Chapter 10. The resplendent Phoenix woman was raising her angelic voice to the cave ceiling when Nova and I appeared, and I was so awed by what was happening above us. I forgot to pay attention to the unpleasant compressed feeling that occurred after traveling this way. Because, as Shay sang in her warm, umber voice, the blue obelisk of Om's sacred heart pulsed in time, and when it did, the stalactites hanging overhead shimmered in iridescent waves. Nova gasped as she stared upward. And when Shay saw we had arrived, she waved us over without breaking her beautiful tune. The siren woman approached her, and once she seemed to pick up on the basic tune Shay was singing, she added her own voice to the Phoenix woman's. While the two women sang in harmony, not only did the light show increase with a multitude of other unique hues, but the stalactites shivered like fine crystal. And because Nova's voice was pitched higher than Shay's, the cave icicles actually started to vibrate. When they did, I was delighted to feel droplets of cool water falling on my face. And the longer the two women sang, the more the rain fell until we were all soaked. Suddenly, Nova stopped as her fin-like ears popped out on either side of her head like something had caught her attention, and she turned toward the obelisk. Shay's song also died down, and the two of us watched the siren woman as she approached the blue crystal. Nova stopped in front of it and gazed up at the tall structure now humming with life and inner light. Her ears flickered here and there, but she remained riveted to the spot like she was listening intently to something. Whatever the heart of Om was telling her, it caused large tears to roll down her cheeks, and she hastily wiped them away. But before either Shay or I could grow concerned, Nova smiled up at the obelisk with a smile that could even make the sun look dim in comparison.
"I will,"
she whispered.
"Promise."
And then she turned around and hugged both Shay and me with a gleeful laugh. "Who are you talking to, honey?" I giggled back, and tried to subtly adjust her stranglehold around both of our necks.
"Mother Spirit,"
she explained when she pulled back. Then she laughed out another breath and swiped some of her hair from her face.
She tell Nova she now protector of new pack. She say to help incarnate heal Aventol. She say, mate is..."
Here, she broke off with a frown as she seemed to reach the threshold of her vocabulary yet again. But instead of getting frustrated, she just stepped up into my space until it was natural for me to wrap my arms around her bare waist. Nova sighed as I caressed the small of her back, and a mild scent of her pheromones was released in the air. The faint smell of her sweet aroma let me know how she was feeling in that moment, and instead of having the urge to tackle each other, I could somehow feel how comforted she felt as she placed a hand over my sternum. "Heart?" I ventured, when I realized she was doing her charades thing again, and she nodded.
"Nova's... my heart,"
she clarified.
"Mate is my heart."
"That must mean I have your mother's blessing," I grinned and glanced at the obelisk behind her as it pulsed strongly. And a sky blue light from the center of the crystal spire danced around in what appeared to be joy.
"Yes,"
the siren woman said gravely.
"And bless from all lacunas. Take honor."
I wiped the grin off my face so she would know I was taking this seriously. If what she was saying was true, then I was somehow being blessed by a whole extinct nation of people whose only sole survivor was this woman I held in my arms. That was a hefty thing to be bestowed with, and I straightened my spine. "I am honored, and I will do everything I can to protect you too." Then I sealed my vow with a soft kiss against her sweet-tasting lips, and Shay lifted her voice to the rafters again. It was like our own private celebration, and I realized with mild shock that this felt exactly as if Nova and I had just gotten married, and I knew for certain the siren woman was now an irrevocable part of my life from here on out. Let's go, I said at last. And with large grins plastered on all our faces, Nova led us both into the underwater lake, and just like we had done before, we traded breaths with the beautiful mermaid as we made our way back to the surface and back into the blessed sunlight.
Girl! Girl! Girl!
Was the obnoxious sound that greeted me when my head broke the surface of the water, and I spluttered as Rufus landed heavily on top of my head hard enough to almost dunk me back under again.
Hey!
I coughed and swiped the water out of my eyes.
Rue, relax, will ya?
They're over there, Uncle Oris!
Ryland's voice could be heard next, and I turned in a circle to see my son a ways away on the lakeshore. He was standing underneath Rickety House and waving up at Horace, who was practically hanging over the balcony trying to get a look at the three of us bobbing in the middle of the lake.
Chief, is that really you?
He called out.
Who the dark hell were you expecting?
I hollered back.
I don't know,
he shouted. And even at the distance I was, I could see his black-feathered crest fluff up like he was a wet mother hen.
It's been 2 cursed days since I sent Shaylee down with La.
2 days?
Shay asked as she swam up next to me.
But how is that possible? We were only gone for a handful of time.
My words faltered as any sort of explanation to the gaps in time eluded me, and I just shook my head. I don't know. But we'd better go put everyone out of their misery.
Oh, dear. I bet our Zoe has been worried sick.
Shay tisked as we all swam closer to shore.
See?
Nova questioned, and her voice held a note of trepidation.
Don't worry. She's one of the gentlest, most kind-hearted people I've ever known.
Shay said as we swam closer. As if the universe really had an interesting sense of humor, the Catwoman, who was normally all of those things Shay had described, came flying out of the rickety house with one of those mighty yowls only reserved for her enemies, and I just knew we were in trouble. The three of us stopped swimming in shock.
Row! Where are they?
Zoe demanded as she reached the bottom of the entrance path and met up with Rylan. He gaped at her with fluffed tail, backward-facing ears, and continuous growl that I could hear all the way from the shore. And all the kid could do was hurriedly point in our direction before rushing past her. When Zoe locked her thunderous eyes on us, Nova squeaked and immediately dipped under the water. And I couldn't really blame her because I kind of wanted to do the same. Hi, love, I waved for an utter lack of anything else to say in this situation. But when she continued to glare, I gave her some puppy dog eyes to see if I could lessen her ire by being charming. I'm sorry we worried you, and I promise I have an explanation. But first, you wouldn't happen to have anything to wear with you, would you? I didn't think my tactic worked when she continued to scowl. But after a second, the relief at seeing us both in the flesh and unharmed overwhelmed any anger she might have had. Her eyes softened back to that liquid sapphire shade I loved so much, and she slung a pack around to rest on her hip that I hadn't seen her with before.
Rylan, I need you to go back up to the house with Horace.
Zoe sighed as she started to pull some much-needed essentials out of her pack. Like clothes, thank fuck. As nice as it was to go au naturel for a bit, I was kind of over feeling quite so exposed. And let's be honest, nobody wanted to get sunburnt on their dick, so pants were among the things I was really looking forward to wearing again. Once Rylan was safely out of view, Shay and I finally got out of the water, and Zoe handed each of us a pair of soft chamois-like leather cloths that dried us off in seconds flat, and then she began handing us some of our standard garments. As I slipped on my leather trousers and a black tunic, I told myself I would never complain about Aventol fashion ever again. And when I finally felt properly clothed and dry once more, I couldn't help but smooth my hands down the fabric, like clothes were a luxury I'd taken for granted big time. When this occurred to me, I automatically turned to my left where Nova usually was, because I was eager to share this with her. But then I remembered she was still keeping her distance by doing her mermaid thing. I didn't blame the siren woman because it was clear my catwife was radiating something heavy. It wasn't malice or even anger, but something hovered behind her pensive gaze, and if I didn't know her like I did, I might have overlooked that expression as being one of her naturally stoic ones. But I did know her, and the slight buckle of her brow and the almost invisible tension in the corners of her eyes were like beacons to me, and I knew I had better start talking. "Zoe," I placated. But I didn't get very far when she interrupted me by flinging up her hand.
"Don't,"
she whispered, but not unkindly, even though it looked like she was visibly trying to hold something back.
"Just let me do this."
The last words jarred together through a burst of growling in her throat, and it was obvious she had no control over the sound based on the shocked expression on her face. "What do you need?" I blurted out when she stepped back a few paces, and I wrapped both arms around her torso. "Zoe?"
"I'm sorry,"
she said.
"I just want..."
It was as if something suddenly broke within her, and she practically threw herself at me. I'd never seen her act so erratically before, and at first I thought she was going to attack me for some reason, but the attack wasn't anything I was expecting. Or maybe I was, I didn't know. But whatever the case, my wife pressed her entire body up against mine and planted her nose behind my ear so she could breathe me in. I tried to wrap my arms around her, but before I could, she snatched my wrists in her strong grip and stopped me. I was silent as she continued to inspect every inch of me with those intense ocean eyes, and I went still so she could do as she pleased, which happened to be mostly sniffing me all over, even in some intimate places. And even though it might have been vaguely erotic in other circumstances, this felt clinical and almost like Zoe was operating based on some primal instinct deep inside her. Shay caught my gaze as she finished tying her belt around one of her flowing silk kimono-like gowns. Her red eyebrows furrowed down in a concerned frown, and I simply shrugged at her while Zoe switched to scenting the back half of me. When my cat wife seemed to be satisfied, she turned her dilated gaze on Shay, and the Phoenix woman could do nothing but submit to the same treatment as me. A faint splash drew my attention away from my two wives, and I turned to see Nova had decided to join us. When she noticed what Zoe was doing to Shay, she froze in her approach from the water. But I smiled at her, and she seemed to relax. The siren woman then continued to walk all the way up to the two women so she could watch what Zoe was doing, and something in her maroon eyes seemed to spark with recognition. Then, after a second, she inhaled a tiny breath and released a sound I'd never heard her make before. Nova vocalized by trilling her tongue a bit, and the reaction from the catwoman was immediate. Zoe stopped scenting the back of Shay's neck, and her saucer-like eyes snapped to the siren woman, like she'd just now noticed the drop-dead gorgeous naked green woman with blue hair standing next to her. That, more than anything, caused some major red flags to pop up for me, because I couldn't ever remember a time in which the Varthan wasn't anything less than alert like the strong warrior she was trained to be. Something was seriously going on with her. Perhaps our extended and unexplained absences had really done a number on her. Nova trilled again and took a small step toward Zoe. And for now, I stashed my thoughts so I could continue to watch whatever it was that was taking place. The catwoman's velvet ears finally unfolded from where they'd been flattened against the top of her head. And when they perked with interest, Nova mirrored her with her own ears. Zoe purred with her own surprised trill, and the siren woman flapped each ear one at a time. Then the best thing happened, and it melted away any worry or concern starting to brew a violent storm in my gut. Zoe opened her mouth and let out one of her small, bell-like giggles, and then she left Shay's side to investigate this new creature presented in front of her. Nova trilled softly and wiggled both ears this time.
"You must be Nova,"
Zoe said, and the growl in her voice had changed to a low purr. The siren woman nodded slowly, and then it was her turn to investigate the catwoman. Zoe submitted to the treatment with her normal stoic patience, and she even let the curious creature inspect her glossy black tail.
"Pretty,"
Nova murmured as she reverently stroked the soft appendage, and when Zoe then curled it around Nova's thin wrist, we were all rewarded with a burst of the siren woman's giggles. Zoe blushed a little at the delighted sound, and when I was pretty sure we'd all finally left the tension behind, Nova suddenly pounced on Zoe's back and chomped down on the tip of one of her velvety ears. Zoe yelled, and suddenly the two women were growling and brawling with each other like they were mortal enemies.
Oh, Mercedes!
Shay yelled, and nearly had to dodge out of the way as both of them tumbled to the ground. And if she hadn't leapt over them when they rolled toward her, she would have been tangled up in the crossfire. Shay! I caught her after she lost her balance. And then I drew us away from the carnage as the pair of them rolled back in our direction. Up here! I managed to get us both on top of a small boulder that was tall enough for us to stay safely out of the way, while still being able to continue looking on.
What do we do?
The Phoenix woman asked, and she clutched the protective forearm I had across her waist. I don't know, I admitted, as I watched the two fierce women savagely scrapping with each other. What had happened? Everything seemed to be going fine between them. Better than fine, in fact. For a moment, it seemed as if Nova was the key to drawing Zoe out of whatever weird fugue had possessed her. And she actually seemed to be the thing Zoe needed to focus on to regain her normal composure. But then everything unraveled. Or had it? If I ignored the rather alarming sounds coming from both of them and really looked at what they were doing, I noticed, despite how fierce they were careful to not do any serious damage, and they even tried to avoid leaving marks on one another if they could. It was almost as if they were playing. Very scarily playing, but still playing.
Alex, Shay, duck!
Horace said from behind both of us. And as one, my Phoenix wife and I turned to see him with one of his lethal arrows knocked in his trusty bow.
Horace, wait!
I ordered as I threw up my hands.
It's not what you think! I know you're fond of the feral thing, but she's actively attacking your wife,
he argued.
Alex is right, Russ,
Shay suddenly gasped, and I knew she'd picked up on what I had. Before the Falcon Man could argue any more, the sound of the most wholesome and uproarious laughter could be heard from the two women. And with a confused frown, Horace finally lowered his weapon.
What did I miss?
He asked as he joined us up on the boulder Shay and I were still perched on. We're still trying to catch up ourselves, I said, as I returned my attention to Zoe and Nova. Currently, Zoe was on top of Nova's back and pinning her to the ground. And every time Nova would try to jerk upward, Zoe would nip her fin ears, or the back of her neck, or her shoulder blade. Basically anywhere that was convenient at the time. Instead of provoking the siren woman's rage like I would have assumed, Nova would giggle, laugh, and even downright squeal with delight depending on where Zoe would nibble on her. This honestly opened a whole treasure trove of fantasies my caveman brain conjured at the brain-frying sight of the two beautiful women. Especially one clothed in her usual tight black leather like some badass dominatrix, while the other was still wonderfully naked. But there would be time to explore all that later. For now, I just had to get closer to whatever sexy fucking adorableness this was.
Be careful, Alex,
Shay said as I walked up to the other women, and when I saw what they were doing next, I wanted to laugh. No need to worry, sweetheart, I said, as I watched Zoe nuzzle the side of Nova's neck like she'd smelled some enticing catnip or something, because no matter how much the siren woman squirmed, the tip of Zoe's sensitive nose followed that particular spot as if it was magnetized. I think they're just becoming acquainted. Nova said through a drawn-out giggle when Zoe started to lick the spot she was so enraptured with. And the siren woman finally managed to wiggle out from under the curious catwoman with a flustered huff. Oh my, Horace said. And I saw him whip around so his back was to the flushed, sweaty, and still oh-so-naked siren. Yes, well, it appears as if everything's fine after all, silly me.
Come, Russ, let's go up to the house and see if Nova has anything we need to bring with us,
Shay suggested, as she patted the Falcon Man's shoulder.
Good thinking, sis, Horace said,
and the Falcon Man didn't hesitate for a second before booking it toward the crooked path up to Rickety House.
Don't be too long, husband,
my wife said over her shoulder, and I mouthed her a quick, thank you, and smiled when she smirked at me. Then I turned around, and my smile only grew bigger when I saw how Zoe and Nova were sitting next to each other on the ground. So I settled myself down on a stump across from them to observe their strange interactions. The most prominent thing I noticed between the two was their utter lack of verbal language in spite of the fact they were obviously communicating. However, their communication was solely based on subtle gestures and glances exchanged almost too rapidly for me to follow along. But I did the best I could, and I was able to get the gist of what was transpiring between them. From what I could tell, it was mostly just Nova watching Zoe take more items out of the pack she'd brought along, and Zoe allowing the Siren Woman to inspect each and every one to her heart's content. I was so glad my catwife had thought to bring extra for Nova despite not even having met her face to face yet. And as fascinating as it was being an observer, I couldn't help but break the silence. "Thank you," I said in a low voice, so as to not disturb Nova in her exploration of what appeared to be socks. "For bringing all of us things, I mean."
"I could tell by the way you wrote about her that she had become special to you,"
Zoe said in her even voice, and I knew at last her composure had returned. "That didn't bother you, did it?" I asked. "That I seemed to have feelings for a woman you'd never even met before?"
"At first, Shay and I were surprised, given how short of an interval it had been from the time you met her. But I see now what you and no doubt Shay have seen in her,"
Zoe said, and a corner of her mouth twitched upward in a fond smirk when she saw how the Siren Woman had slipped the socks onto her hands. "I'm so sorry we disappeared like that," I said, and Zoe's smirk faded. "That must have been difficult."
"You can't imagine,"
Zoe faltered, and her throat clicked with the sound of her heavy swallow.
"At first, you and Rylan were gone without a trace, but then you were found, and when Shay never returned with you, I
took this as my cue and moved to her other side so I could hold her hand and finally bridge the distance between us. "What happened after Shay left?" I asked.
"It was the next morning when we knew something was wrong because Rufus came to us and sounded the alarm,"
she filled in for me. "Good boy," I chuckled, and she smiled at this.
"Horace and I tried calling for Law, but she was caught in some debris underneath this wretched house,"
she continued, and I winced when I remembered it had been 2 whole days since the three of us had disappeared. "Poor thing," I said, and squeezed her fingers. "What did you guys do?"
"We had to maneuver the airship lower so I could make the jump to the balcony, and after I did that, I was able to get to La, who was mostly uninjured,"
she said as she squeezed my fingers back.
"I stayed here for 2 nights waiting for you, because I didn't know what else to do."
"I'm sorry, my love," I said again, and kissed her head. "I'm here now, and all of us are safe."
"Where were you?"
she finally asked. And I spent the next several minutes filling her in on the crazy portaling adventure the three of us went on. I explained how Shay had now healed 3 of Aventol's islands, and how Nova was now freed from her obligation to take care of Ohm's heart. "We honestly didn't know it took days," I concluded, and then kissed the back of her knuckles. "If we did, then we would have come back as fast as possible so you weren't sitting here letting your imagination go crazy. Can you forgive me?"
"I feel like it is I who should be asking that of you,"
she sighed, and tipped her head so it rested against my shoulder.
"I'm sorry for how I acted before."
"It's all right, but are you okay?" I asked. And I switched from holding her hand to wrapping my arm around her so I could take my own comfort in having her close. "It was like you couldn't see me at times."
It was a struggle to keep my more baser instincts at bay,"
she admitted with an embarrassed blush.
"I felt insane with the urge to have all of you close after so long, and when I couldn't find you for the second time, this time with Shay as well, I just..."
"I understand," I said, and then turned her chin toward me so I could place a kiss on her lips. "It was a lot for everyone, I know."
"It was odd, but Nova helped a little,"
she said, and we both glanced at the Siren Woman who was still occupying herself with all of the clothes Zoe had managed to bring. Currently, she had a skirt on her head and was now trying to untie some sort of drawstring with her socked hands. She has a peculiar way about her, doesn't she? I chuckled, and then exchanged amused looks with Zoe. What was that ear thing earlier, by the way? I'm assuming that was part of her being helpful, but for a moment there, I wasn't sure.
It appears as if the Lacuna and Varthan races have similar pack dynamics, because what she was doing would be seen as playfighting common between siblings,
she illuminated. You think you and the Lacuna children are distantly related somehow? I asked, as my eyebrows arched toward my hairline.
I'm not sure,
Zoe said with a frown.
I wouldn't be surprised, though. Some of the ancient legends talk of a lost sister race, but Varthan lore is not clear on what happened to them, so I don't know.
Maybe that's a question for Jenner and whatever we find on Aang once we get there, I said. And I buried my nose in her temple so I could both smell her and feel the butterfly kisses of her soft ears as they fluttered against my face. I missed you so much, Zoe. You have no idea.
Oh, I can guess,
she said with a flirtatious smirk in her voice that made me pull back so I could see her beautiful face.
I smelled a hint of arousal against the little love mark you left behind on Nova, and it is the same scent I can faintly detect now from you.
I groaned at how sexy she sounded. And if I wasn't spent from earlier, I might end up making some hasty decisions and delay us even more. For now, I contented myself with kissing her once more and tried to pour out all the promises I planned to keep later in my actions. Zoe kissed me back with equal fervor, and even though there was palpable arousal between us, it wasn't the urgent kind that demanded immediate attention. No, this coupling would come to a slow boil, so for now I could focus on the simmering feeling of being reunited with her. I swore to Mercedes, it felt as if I'd been missing a limb until this moment. And as I deepened the kiss, something within me clicked back into place.
I missed you too, Alex,
she purred, and then crawled into my lap so we were embracing each other like two bookends.
Don't leave on a mission without me again, okay?
I promise, I said, and pressed our foreheads together. Promise you won't let me?
I promise,
she said back, and then she bit her passionate kisses into my willing mouth, until we were rocking and undulating together in a haze of slow-burning devotion. The sound of someone clicking their teeth caused Zoe and I to break apart with a gasp, as a very large shadow slanted over us and blocked out the sun.